We're so blessed that you joined us at Cultivating Hearts Radio. Hosanna is with us again.
Hello.
Hello. And Adriana.
Yep.
And or D.
Yeah, or A. Or whatever A, Tara calls her.
I can't wait to tell friends.
And then myself, Sandy, and Miss Tara. And we are continuing in Philippians 3, 7 through 11. And last time we talked about the three things that help us to develop our character.
Mm, yeah, and I love how you said help us, because we realize that it doesn't really command us in Scripture, grow your character. It commands us to believe on the Lord Jesus, to die to self. There are a lot of things that produce character, but it doesn't tell us grow your character. And so we pulled some things from Paul that Paul gives us. He gives three things in three different letters that he's written. And we saw that Paul challenges us to examine ourselves and test our faith. So we asked the question, am I faithing it? We saw that Paul challenges us to accept things of the Spirit. So we were asking, am I accepting the Spirit's direction? Am I listening? And am I listening with a healthy heart and mind? And then we saw that Paul challenges us to deal with our sinful nature. And we have to ask, am I repenting? And then, am I trusting Jesus? And so what we're doing is we're now looking at some verses in Romans, and we're going to examine a little bit more of what it means to deal with our sinful nature. Okay, so Hosanna is going to read for us, Romans 5. Go ahead.
Verse 6, it starts off and it says, "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son. How much more, having been reconciled, shall we now be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation."
Mm. My translation at the end says in verse 11, "So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God." Mm. And I just wrote that down. I was like, oh, that's just so beautiful, that as we recognize what Jesus did and that he died for us on the cross, he's the one that made us right before God. He removes that condemnation. And because of that, we are now friends of God. It's beautiful. Why don't you want to deal with your sinful nature? I mean, it's like, to know that you can be the friend of God, you should want to deal with it, because it's what brings us in right relationship with him. Okay.
All right. What verses were you saying again?
We want to do Romans 8, and we're going to do, I think it was 5 through 8.
Okay. All right, so Romans 8, 5 through 8. "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God."
Go ahead and read 9 through 11.
Okay. "You, however, are not in the flesh, but are in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. And anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although your body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give you life to your mortal bodies, through his Spirit who dwells in you."
Okay. All right. And so here we give the example of where in dealing with our sinful nature, recognizing that in the Spirit, that which is sinful is put to death. And for the person who is not controlled by the Spirit, it's death to them when we talk about it. It always blows my mind that the same message can be spoken to two people. And if one person is a believer, it says one thing, and to another person, it says another. And the thing that I always go back to, when I was at seminary, Dr. Catanzaro, he was our dean for our doctoral program, he was teaching a class with us, And he was a great character of God, just one of those people you just absolutely delight being around, because he came from a mafia kind of background where his family, Italian, you know, really tough. And yet he's this soft guy, you know, in Jesus, you know, just he's a beautiful man of God. Yet there was that tough demeanor still about him, you know, like he'd bang on the table when he'd make his points. You could just see a lot of that history was still a part of him. And he, in class one day, was just emphatic. He goes, "Don't you know that the word encouragement, it has the definition of condemnation in it? And that if a person's heart is right, it will be an encouragement. And if their heart is not, they're condemned." It's a revelation of the heart.
Right.
And I think this passage in Romans is the explanation of that. And that if I have the Spirit and I'm allowing the Spirit and I'm listening to the Spirit and willing to be obedient to the Spirit, it will bring me life. But if I am not in the Spirit and not willing to listen to the Spirit and allow the Spirit to speak, it's death to me because I want to choose my flesh. And going back to what Paul said, you know, do not have the confidence in your flesh. It needs to be in the Spirit. And
yeah,
it's crazy, like guarding that and being willing to say, okay, when I feel my flesh rising up, because it does daily, because we're all human, it's a daily thing. And I love what I have, the Life Application Study Bible, and they had a really nice explanation, and so I highlighted it, I wanted to share. He says, Paul divides people into two categories. There are those that are dominated by their sinful nature and those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit. All of us would be in the first category if Jesus hadn't offered us a way out. Once we've said yes to Jesus, we will want to continually following him. We want to continue follow him because his ways bring life and they bring peace. Daily, we must consciously choose to center our life on God. We must use the Bible to discover guidelines and then follow them. In every perplexing situation, ask yourself, what would Jesus want me to do? And when the Holy Spirit points out what is right, do it eagerly. I mean, that is huge. It's like the eagerness to say, okay, I will obey. And that means that we have to be willing to die to self. And say, okay, I'm going to pick up my cross daily, and I'm going to follow Jesus. And so that's the command that builds the character of knowing him in us. That's good.
Yeah, and it really all kind of just boils down to humility and whether you are willing to accept what God is pointing out in your life and what he's showing or not, and how you're going to respond to that. Yeah.
It's all about surrender.
Yeah.
I know.
Definitely.
I was singing in my head, I surrender all.
Yeah.
I wish I had the ability to sing, or when Janelle was on the radio with us and she could just pull out a song.
She could.
It's like, oh, I like need that. And so thinking through those, and so dealing with the sinful nature and being willing to do what needs to be done so that we can get there. That's pretty awesome. Okay, so with that said, we have to recognize Paul's wanting something for them. What are the things that he is longing for? Now let's go back to the Philippians passage of 7 through 11. And as we're looking at this passage in verses 10 through 11, he says, I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings and become like him unto death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection. What are the things that he is longing for them?
Fellowship. Just like being joined with Christ, whatever. So like the crazy thing is that it talks about suffering specifically. And so it's like, it's not necessarily enjoyable or easy, but there is joy because you're with Christ in the midst of it.
Okay. So the fellowship of suffering. What else?
Just to be following Christ all the way to the point of death.
To the resurrection.
And,
That's not easy.
And you know what? We go before him then. We don't want to go empty-handed either.
It's true.
You know, before Christ.
Right. Right. Yeah. Okay. That's good. Right. So what was Paul's hope? What's he expressing as his hope in this?
The resurrection.
Yeah. That we will rise because of what Jesus did for us. Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's read now verses 12 through 14, and we're going to look at those. He says, not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold for me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize with which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm. He has a very eternal focus in mm-hmm. the midst of all of that.
Mm-hmm. It's easy, though, to get my mind where I'm not focused mm-hmm. eternally.
Me too.
Yep.
You know, to be in the moment. My feet hurt, so I want to be grumpy. This would be my temporal focus, but it has to be an mm-hmm. eternal. So I have a crazy question. Let's just think, because in a way, this is kind of like almost like honing in on an athletic kind of concept, you know. So if we were in ancient times and you participated in sports, would you have preferred the chariot racing or the spear throwing?
Chariot racing.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, why?
Well, for one thing, I couldn't throw a spear.
It's fast.
It's fast, yeah.
Okay.
Get there faster.
I wrote down, if I had to choose chariot, I'd say because of the speed, and if I chose the spear, I'd want it because of the power.
Hmm.
And, you know, I mean, what we're thinking about, and so as we're looking at this, and he's, like, attaining the goal, he's, like, he's working towards, moving towards a goal, like he's, you know, the concept of maybe he's even thinking of running the race, you know. His testimony is, He gives us things that he is working towards doing to make that happen. Mm-hmm. If we were in a race, we would have to have these same kind of thoughts. And I can't remember which. It's got to be Tim Keller that I heard this say this. He said, when somebody is at the Olympics and they're standing there on the podium and they've just received the gold, and he said, they're not up there thinking, you know, I did this or that. They're thinking through the suffering of what they went through in order to get to the place, mm-hmm. and that's mm-hmm. what humbles them, mm-hmm. you know, is that their thoughts are thinking through what they've suffered to make it happen. And Paul's testimony, he says, I've not attained it. Mm-hmm. He says, I'm still persevering, you guys. I'm still struggling through. I have not yet grasped what I'm telling you we need. I've not yet obtained this. I've not yet gotten my goal. I'm still trying to know Jesus the way I'm telling you need to know him.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not asking them to do something that he's not himself struggling through. And he says, but I've pressed on to take hold of what he's taking care of for me. And so that's going back to of the knowing what he's, you know, done, where we're mm-hmm. at in our, you know, now, and then what he's accomplished for us in the future. And he says, I'm still trying to take hold of that. Mm-hmm. He said, but one thing, I forget what's behind. Why do we have to do the forgetting of what's behind?
So we can focus on what's ahead of us, or the moment even. I don't know. You always have to forget the past.
Do you run fast if you run backwards?
No.
No.
No. Good
do
point.
Do you drive fast if you drive backwards?
No.
You hope not.
You don't want to go backwards.
if we are looking backwards, we actually get off course.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
wasn't he talks about the plow if you look back from, you know.
Right. Yeah. And so when he was challenging us, remember we were looking through how to examine ourselves, accept the spirit, and then deal with our flesh. We have to recognize that means that I have to, in my shedding of that which is, I have to let go of the things that of the past. I can't be mm-hmm. examining that and having that be a...
You can't dwell on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A burden on my back.
No, and it would be a burden.
And it would be a burden, and, yeah. and it slows you down, mm-hmm. and it causes confusion, and it distorts things. I mean, there's so many different factors when you...
Just like the backpack everybody talked about, somebody will put a little burden in your backpack, and
mm-hmm.
then you're carrying it pretty soon, and then you can't carry it at all.
Right.
Yeah,
because you take on everybody's burden
exactly.
sometimes
and
too much.
And you don't want that to happen. And so as we're thinking through that, I'm wanting us to understand that he's wanting us then to keep our goal of focusing, straining towards Christ.
And there's the key. It's goal. It's not goals. One goal.
Yeah.
One single goal.
What are you looking at?
Jesus.
That's
just
right.
Give me Jesus, mm-hmm. as Ingram Watt says, is Jesus, 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 Jesus. Just give me Jesus. Mm-hmm. That was a pretty good imitation, I think, of Ingram Watt's. Okay, and so he says, I press on toward the goal to win the prize which God has given me in Christ Jesus alone. Okay, so we're thinking through that. Now let's go on to verse 15 and 16. He says, all of us then who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that to God will make it clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained, joined together and following my example, brothers and sisters. And just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do.
Mine says a same mind.
Same mind? Where is your same mind at? Already attained?
Let us, at the very last.
All right, live at the same mind.
Let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind.
That's good. And that fits with the beginning of Philippians 2:5, let you have the mind of mm-hmm. Christ. It's yeah. good. So mm-hmm. how did Paul call the Philippians to share their view? He's like, who? Who are the people he's asking? Let us have what? He calls us out to maturity.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So what does spiritual maturity look like?
Obedience.
Yeah, mm-hmm. like knowing Christ and looking at Christ.
Mm-hmm. Focused on Christ.
Examining ourselves, mm-hmm. accepting the things of the Spirit, dealing with our sinful nature, and pressing on towards Jesus. Those are why we have to focus in on those. And so he's done that. And in following that example, and he says, only let us live up to what we've attained. And I was thinking about that this morning. I'm like, God, what would we look like if we really did live up to what we've already attained?
Mm.
What does that look like? If every day, every believer on this earth just said, let me live up to what I've attained in Christ. And I was trying to share this with our community group on Sunday morning because we're doing Good to Great in God's Eyes, a book study. It's about great leaders pray great prayers. And I was telling them the transformation God did in me when he made a shift in my prayer life, where I moved from just asking of God and acknowledging who God is.
Praising.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And that instead of saying, I only have, all right, for example, God be present with me. Well, he tells us, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. I don't have to ask God to be present with me. If I want to acknowledge it, I should say, God, thank you that you are present with me. And so that's what Paul's telling us, attaining, recognizing what we have attained. We don't have to ask what he's already given. We should just praise him for what he's done.
Because it's a given, yeah.
Right. And so reading the word in such a way that we acknowledge what he's already done and then living our lives as such. We're so glad that you have joined us at Cultivating Hearts. Looking forward to talking to you again next time. God bless.